Channing! Channing!
You yell my name. And everybody knows your goddamn voice.
My bad. Sorry.
Channing! Is that Ryan Clark? Yes, sir. What I said to Will?
What you was telling me? We were sitting on a bench. We was doing the snapping.
You
told crazy shit.
I ain't lie, bro. The funniest episode was the one with Kevin Hart, bro. He just kept asking. He's like, hold on, one more time.
Ooh, bro. It made a meme when he pulled his glasses down. Yeah. He said, y'all hear what this saying out loud?
He said, y'all
these people?
Y'all
hear what this saying out loud? Huh?
My dog got too much Christ in his life. I'm not even finna bring him on that with you.
You talking about?
You. I'm not finna let you.
Jesus
listen.
Loves pleasure. Jesus brings pleasure to people. And he enjoys people to be pleased. And I'm here as a representative of God.
I just don't know.
But no,
I don't wanna know.
This is the problem with sexual actions. A lot of people are selfish. I'm not selfish. So whatever you don't like.
Just, nobody wants to know your information. That's
know,
the thing. That's what the world trying to tell you.
The world.
But, you know what I'm saying?
The world is trying to tell me this.
Yes.
But I'm saying when you approach a situation like that, it's not just, hey, what feels good to me. It's what everybody enjoys.
Yeah, but a lot of people are private about that, and that's probably how it should be.
Because you know what? Because that's what the world wants people to be secret. I want people to know.
CJ, he left you off the light skin list, too, by the way.
Oh, you did leave CJ off the attractive light skin list.
It's all good. I ain't tripping.
You there, though, because we got the double twist together. Yeah, you on the light skin list.
Yeah.
But he left you off. That's what he think about you.
I ain't bring it. We had one great season. Why? One great season.
What does it have to do with anything?
Because that's when you representing us as a people, yeah, man, it's longevity.
Okay.
He got it though.
Yeah, he does.
He'll be on it.
Hold up. Limitless. Take a stomach cap pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Get my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, get me up. On the mission, get me up. Knowing me, I got the key. On the vision, I can trust. Trust. Limitless. Take a stomach cap pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Get my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, get me up. On the mission, get me up. Knowing me, I got the key.
Well, man, welcome to the show again, bro. I think it's great to have alums. I remember still when you walked out the day we did the show with you and Bijan, all three of us was like, yeah, he the one. Just in the sense of how you carried yourself. So it's been a pleasure of ours and an honor to watch you, you know, finish your last year at Ohio State and then all the things that you accomplished, you know, in the league. So first of all, congrats.
Appreciate that.
You know, on all that. Freddie T, Chan, sitting here with CJ Stroud. I mean, I think, man, just to get, you know, right into it, I remember being there the night, you know, you got drafted, the emotion, Bryce goes first, then it's you. Just tell me a little bit about what that moment was like and why it was so emotional, you know, as soon as you heard your name called.
Appreciate y'all having me back, by the way, but honestly, man, it was a dream come true. Like, I know, like, people say that all the time, but, like, when you actually do something that you, like, dream since you've been a kid, like, it just hit a little different, you know? And as I was getting up hugging all my family, my brother whispered something in my ear. He just was telling me, like, how much my dad was proud of me. And, like, that was when I started, like, getting emotional. Because, of course, I've always wanted my dad there at these moments, you know? Honestly, he probably ain't seen me play since I've been, like, 7th, 8th grade. So it's like, I know he's been watching from afar, but that was the main thing that hit, you know, just my pops not being there. And he's the reason why I even, like, started playing ball. So that was one of the main things. And then honestly, just like, man, I just changed my family's dynamic. Like, my last name, and that means something to me. Like, I really want to, like, I always talk about with my friends, like, breaking generational curses, you know, having generational wealth, and really just making our last name mean something, you know? So that was, like, not the first step, but that was a great step to where I want to take my family last name.
And with that, bro, because you spoke on it during the season. You spoke about the system, the judicial system and all. How tough is that to be a young player, you know, playing ball, but also trying to make a change in the world? And I was surprised when you did it. I was surprised. I'm like, he's going to take this platform and really push it forward, but that's for your pops.
Yeah.
What was that decision like when you said, I'm going to speak on this after this game?
It was on my mind heavy, you know. I just talked to him probably like a day or two before, and honestly, like, it was just something that I think, like, it just came on my heart. Like, I just, like, man, it was kind of spontaneous. I was looking back at my mom, and she didn't know I was going to do it, but, like, I can just see her reaction. She was, like, you know, like, just showing, like, just total support. So, honestly, like, of course, I'm a very private person. I don't like people in my business, like, but in a sense, I think that's selfish. You know what I'm saying? Like, to that other little kid, from anywhere in the world, you know, that could be looking up to me. His parent or his loved one or somebody could be incarcerated, or it could be like anybody. It can be a little girl, it can be an older person, it can be whoever. And I think like God put me in this position to ruffle some feathers, to say what's on my heart, you know? And it's hard to do such. Like, I get a lot of love, but I also get a lot of negativity. But like, that's why I think God put me through a lot as a kid, you know? Like, I always tell myself, like, man, you're graced for this. Which just means like, man, like God, like he gives his hardest battles to his toughest soldiers. And you have to get prepared for that. So like, honestly, I think like anything that gets thrown at me from like media or criticism or whatever it could be, like anything, and I think like God is preparing me to be able to stand in that storm, you know, and just be firm in my foundation.
CJ, football is football, and you went out and shit, you just did the damn thing, man. So we'll get into that. But just to extend the conversation on something that's near and dear to your heart, with what Channing said, you know, when you have the likes of the Meek Mills, Michael Rubens, Wallow, you know, they take their platforms and they echo your message and reform, you know, and really fighting for you and fighting for your father to kind of help extend that message. How does that make you feel, seeing these guys really taking your message, recycling it so it can get in front of the masses so they can help try and bring your father home?
It's huge. When you talk about being selfless and being a stand-up person, like those are all three of those guys, like you can look back and see they've all been through something, you know? And even like for Rube, like me and Ruben got really close around this time last year. And it's been a lot of just conversations with him, just bringing back unity in the Black culture. And he's not even Black, you know what I'm saying? And for him to even like think like that, I think it's dope, you know what I mean? And I know from a bird's eye, like people are like, man, who is this dude or whatever? But like when you talk about a stand-up person who cares not only about his like core group of friends, but people outside of that, like I think, man, like we need more people like that in this world, you know? Like it's not about Black, white, it's not about where we come from. It's all about, man, just love and unity, you know? And just with the Reform Alliance, man, they've helped me out tremendously. You know, I always used to think I was the only one. Like, I was always thinking I was maybe the only kid going through what I was going through. But ever since I've spoken out about it and like been to the dinners and been to the meetings and things like that, and I've been trying to get more involved since the season has ended, man, I'm just seeing like so many people that have been through what I've been through and then can relate. And like, that's everything. That's like therapy, you know? And like, you know, as Black people, as Black men, really, we frown on therapy. Like, we think it's a negative thing, but when you talk about your issues more than like going against from it, like going away from it, I think that's the better of how we make the world better. You know what I'm saying? So those guys, man, I'm super appreciative of them, super appreciative of my guy Rob at Reform, Jessica, like all those great people at Reform, definitely doing a great thing. It's not only just about my dad, it's about everybody, you know, in that criminal justice system and with bringing back parole rules, like parole laws that just don't make sense. Like, it's a whole umbrella of things that needs to be fixed.
You know, mentioned Michael Rubin, owner of Fanatics. You know, he mentioned Meek, Wallow. You've been at dinners, I think, with like Kim Kardashian and all these different things. You obviously have to play extremely well to reach that level of notoriety, right? And also celebrity. What has that been like for you in learning to move in those circles but continue to be CJ Stroud?
Yeah, it's something that I think like a lot of people can get confused, you know, on like the people who you associate with, what you see online, then reality. And like, I live in reality. I'm a real person. Like, I know I play on TV. You can consider me a celebrity, whatever you want to. I don't think I'm a celebrity. I think I'm just, like, all my boys back home, like, I'm still me. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's the biggest thing that I wanted because I had a feeling like maybe I didn't have a feeling. I knew that I was going to play well because I had confidence in myself. You know what I'm saying? So I knew it came with a lot. So I was like, man, I'm just going to be myself. Wherever I'm talking to, where I'm at, who's in front of me, what camera, I really don't care. Like, I'm going to just be CJ. And I think a lot of people get confused because they see this idolized, like, person. Like, and I don't do it for that, you know? Like, I really do it because I think, like, I really just want to be an advocate. I want to be somebody who can trailblaze not only the word and God, but also just the black culture and just being a young black man in America. Mm-hmm. It's hard, you know, and I think a lot of people, when they sit down with me, because, you know, from a bird's eye, I can be a whole, I can be whatever you see on camera, but when you sit down with me, you can see, like, who I really am as a person. So whenever I get to a room or something, like, I'm just going to be myself. Yeah. Like it, lump it, like, I don't like it, it is what it is. And that's really just how I rock with that.
We had Jaden Daniels on the show right after he won the Heisman. And, man, we thought it was amazing to, you know, to hear him talk about you guys playing youth football. You know, and he expressed how much you wanted it, how you were different than all of them, and the hunger and passion and what drove you. To see Jaden do the things he's done, to see Bryce do the things he's done, and all you guys are Cali, and yourself, all you guys are California guys, what is that a testament to at the end of the day?
I would say we the best. Like, California brings the best quarterbacks, and I even think, like, DJ's on his way, too, you know, and we even got young guys coming up, but, like, that's the thing I think I love about where I come from, at least in the football world, is, like, we all support each other. We all love one another, you know? And, of course, it's a competition. We all want to be the best. Right. But it's, like, we all support each other through that. And I was, like, I was jumping for joy when Jaden won. Like, because I've been in those shoes. I sat in that chair and, like, man, I want to win. And I got shot down twice, you know? But, like, and Bryce won one, you know? Like, all really, like, we all care about each other a lot. And we all want to see each other succeed. We all come from families where they all support each other, and I really, like, I'm just proud of everybody, you know, just because it's not easy where we come from, you know, a lot of negativity, and it's a lot of positivity. It's a little bit of everything, you know, but we chose to be really focused and disciplined in our craft, and it's paying off.
Would you trade your rookie season for a Heisman Trophy?
Heck no. No, sir. I would never. I'm a firm believer in, like, everything happens for a reason and God's timing, like, right. I can want something real bad, but if it's not in his will, then, like, it's not in his will. And I'm not, when I was younger, I used to really trip off that. Like, I really used to want to be, like, in the limelight, or, like, I wanted to be recruited. I wanted to be the five star, but I wasn't ready. And, like, looking back at it, like, I thank God for that. Cause, like, if I would've got it early, like, who knows who I would've be right now? Like, I could crash out, you know, not be humble. You know, I think through everything, like, I was being taught humility. And I think even for, like, Jaden, Bryce, like, all of us, we all have our different paths. DJ, we all have our different paths, but it all makes sense for our lifestyles and our personalities and, you know, our families, you know? So it's nothing better than doing what's right at the right time. You know, timing is everything. So I wouldn't trade it for sure.
I'm going to steal something from Freddie because they call him Freddie Flowers. Bro, you went crazy your rookie year.
Appreciate that.
You leading the league in yards per game. Like, real talk, like, with the top dudes, what was the evolution that you had? Because we sat down with you a year ago. Yeah. And we saw you coming out, and we, like, you know, we was in Austin, and you left, and we was like, oh, okay. We saw your persona, we saw your leadership. Like, when you sit down with a man, you see different things, and then you go and go crazy. But the whole thing's about evolution. The whole thing's about getting better as a person, better as a man, better as a ball player. What did you see inside yourself that changed through this time that you had to get to be one of the top quarterbacks in the league?
The cool thing about that, I didn't change. I didn't change one thing about, like, my process, my mindset. Like, of course, like, I adapted to the speed and, like, the different calls, like, the operation. Like, a lot of that stuff is different. But, like, just mindset-wise, I just, like, be you. Like, just tell myself, be yourself. No matter what, ups and downs, like, people down you, whatever, like, just be you. And honestly, it took me home, you know? Like, I never... Like, I always, like, looked up to Mahomes and Burrow and Jalen Hurts and all those guys, but I'm not them, you know? I can never be them. I don't want to be them. So I was like, man, like, what is going to make me be the best? And you. Like, everything I've done to this point has worked, so why would I, like, go away from that, you know? So, of course, like, I've matured a lot. Even, like, I feel like I've always kind of been a mature person since I've been young. But, like, even this year, I matured as I'm a real adult, like, in college, you think you're an adult. You're not. Like, you're still a sense of a kid. Because, like, you're really relying on other people to do a lot of stuff for you. In the league, like, you're a man's man in a room full of men. They'll call your bluff. They'll sniff out some BS, you know? So I came in just really being myself, and the locker room bought into that. And I think that was the biggest thing, was just being a leader. And then I knew the play was going to take care of itself. I just had to get... my rhythm, and once I got my rhythm, got my momentum, I just took off from there.
To take it back a second from Chan, You talked about the closeness of all of the quarterbacks from California. Obviously, I think one of the best moments of the entire draft was Bryce looking back and seeing that you were drafted, like the pure joy in his face. And you guys played this year. They got their first win that game. But throughout that entire week, you supported him. You were positive about him. And you just talked about that relationship with you playing so well, but also having a friend who struggled a little bit. How did you feel about some of the things he was going through? And did you ever even just have an opportunity to chop it up with him about some of those things and the differences in y'all experiences?
Yeah, we got to talk a little bit after we played him. And I was really, honestly, I was upset because we lost. We should have not lost that game. But I was excited and I was happy for him. And we talked about a lot of stuff. And honestly, what I told him, like, man, a lot of stuff is not in our control. And one thing I've learned, like, even through college, is, like, it really, like, it's up to you to, like, figure it out. And it's sad to say that, but, like, it's what it is because we're the ones being talked about. Right. Like, they ain't going to talk about, no disrespect, they ain't going to talk about the right guard. They're not going to talk about the safety. They're not going to talk about the corners. They're going to talk about the quarterback. And we're those guys. We signed up for that. So in his shoes, I feel like a lot of stuff didn't go his way that was out of his control. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you can't make a play if somebody don't block. You can't make a play if somebody don't catch the ball. Like, and when you watch the tape, like, Bryce did a lot of great things. Yep. You know what I'm saying? He's going to be a great player, but it takes time. You know, like, I think I came into a situation where, you know, we were struggling. I know, but, like, we still had a lot of good pieces. And Nick Caserio, our GM, brought in a lot of good vets. You know, D'Amico was the perfect coach for our type of team. So, like, I think our rhythm, and, you know, like I said earlier, everybody's path is different. Like, maybe I had a good rookie year, and Bryce is going to have a great second year, you know what I'm saying? And hopefully I do too, but, like, I know everything's going to be fine for him. And I told him, like, you the one, bro.
Yeah.
You the one for a reason. Like, don't ever, ever, like, and he's not going to, but don't ever look at yourself different, bro.
Right.
Like, ever. Like, I think that's one thing that, like, is a testament to where we come from. Like, you can be going through whatever, but at the end of the day, like, all we got is ball for real. Like, you gonna figure it out, bro.
Right.
Like, no matter what. He cares a lot, so I know, like, that's gonna take him home.
Coming into the season, it was said that the Carolina Panthers positioning their organization was the best for a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And to be real, they said that the Houston Texans was the worst. They were coming off of two lame duck coaches that were fired after a year. They had hired a rookie defensive coach. And so they said that that was going to be the hardest place to succeed. And, you know, they didn't have, nobody knew about Nico Collins. Robert Woods was a guy who was getting older. Tank Dell was a rookie third round pick. There were all these things that were supposed to be negative about the situation. The one thing that struck me when we got an opportunity to come to training camp was how much everybody, including Laramie Tunsil, that we sat down with that day, believed in you. Mm-hmm. How they believed in your leadership, your skill. And I remember watching the preseason tape, and I was like, okay, he's going to get it. I think you threw an interception in one of your first games against New England.
My first drive, yeah.
How do you feel you were able to win the locker room over and establish that leadership position so early in Houston?
I think all the best leaders I've been around were great followers. Of course, that's not like doing whatever, but it's like in order, because I'm a rookie. I don't really know. I don't know what I don't know. So I came in with a mindset like, yeah, I want to be a leader on the team. I want to be a captain. I want to do all this leadership stuff, but, like, I want to earn it. So honestly, my first step was, like, build trust. How can I build trust with my guys? Like, how can I spend more time with them and let them know, like, this isn't for fake. Like, I'm not just trying to be a leader. I really want to be brothers, because the closest teams I've been on has been the best teams. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, the best teams I've ever been on in my life have always been super close. We're all brothers. So really, I think one of my first weeks out there, we went bowling. It was me and all the O-linemen. And, like, I was just showing my personality, just being me. You know, that's one thing, like, through everything, I'm just going to be me. I'm never going to try to, like, say a funny joke if I don't, it's not on my mind. Like, right. Everything's going to come off the dome, you know, right. Like, it's just me being who I am. And so we did the bowling. We did OTAs. Like, I had dinners at my house. We had dinners, like, at restaurants, you know, just chilling as boys. And then we did a L.A., like, little trip where, of course, I trained out there, and I flew all my teammates out, got some nice Airbnbs, went out to dinner, worked out, did a whole bunch of just cool stuff. And like, that was like, man, like we were all were like, had a lot in common that we didn't know. Mm-hmm. You know, we all come from different demographics. Like Dalton Schultz being from Utah, you know, he's different than Nico Collins being from Birmingham, Alabama.
Right.
You know, so it's like that time let us know like, yeah, we're gonna figure this thing out. So like, back to what you said in the beginning of the question, like everybody riding us off, that's why players play, coaches coach, and analysts do their analyst things, yep. You know? And it's up to us, like people, you know, so you play, like all y'all play. If they could be in our shoes, they would, yep. But they can't. So all they can do is talk. So we let them talk, we let them do what they gonna do, and it's all love. So everybody's entitled to their own opinion. And I don't really get into back and forth, but like, that's why I'm CJ Stroud. That's why it's Nico Collins. That's why it's Dalton Schultz.
Yep.
That's why it's D'Amico Ryans. Like, we gonna be who we are. And I always tell people, like, it's in me, it's not on me. You know, like I tell y'all before, like, yeah. It's in me, not on me. So they can say whatever, but I'm finna go build the trust. I'm finna go be the soldier while y'all be the little rats running around and just talk all day. You know, it's all love, no disrespect. No, it's what it is, you know? So,
hey, CJ, don't get me wrong, I do the job. So
yeah.
I ain't tripping. I said it when everybody got on cam about what he said. I was like, let's be honest. I said, everybody that does this job or is talking about people that playing either can't play, never could play,
right.
Or don't play. And so now I totally agree with you, man. Like, no matter what the predictions are, what the analysis is, that junk is decided on the grass. And I think more than anything, the Houston Texans, CJ Stroud, D'Amico Ryans prove that above anything else.
You put me in a bit of a bind. I mean, I'm a Jaguar lifer, obviously, but you were so impressive the first time we had you on the show. You know, I found a connection. And it was my duty, respectfully, to want to root for you. So you come into Jacksonville, you beat us, you put up 30-some points. I'm like, damn. But I'm rooting for you. But I wanted my guys to win, but I'm still rooting for your success. And then, you know, you fast forward, and then the season sorts to kind of unfolds as it did. But I want to do right by you and give you your real flowers.
I appreciate that. Yes, sir.
The number 2 overall pick from last year's draft, usually that's a recipe for disaster for quarterbacks. It's rare that you see quarterbacks go so high and have the type of season you had. You took a team, actually, that was a laughingstock to the playoffs. You threw for 4,100 yards, 23 touchdowns, ranked in the top 10 in yards, only 5 interceptions on the season. Ranked 3rd amongst rookie quarterbacks in the history of the game. You set pass attempt records without an interception, 192 attempts, 407 yards, single game passing record, 5 touchdowns, single game passing record by a rookie. You joined Joe Montana and Tom Brady as the only players in the history of the league in passing yards per game and touchdown to interception ratio. Both of those guys are Hall.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
We're famous. That's doing you justice and saying you had a hell of a fucking year. Man, bro. Fucking, we're all proud of you. We felt like big brothers throughout the entire season. Did you see CJ? Did you see the player? Like, we were here saying, man, he got what it takes, bro. So I just want to say, well deserved.
Thank you,
everything you've done is well deserved. Keep pushing forward, man.
Thank you, bro. That's love, sure. Man. You know, it's crazy because, like, I looked up to y'all, you know, like, I'm not trying to make y'all feel old, but I was a young, young kid when y'all were playing.
You weren't born. You never saw Fred play.
Oh, I seen Fred. Fred's a dog.
This is when the ding, ding, ding. This is the joke.
Fred play. Never watched Fred play.
I sure did.
Who did I play? YT Tittle, YA Tittle. Who was it?
We were talking last night, talking about boy Dick Buckus was a banger.
Why they do you like that, Fred?
Because I know I just be chilling. They know. I can take it. I got tough skin. So
yeah, like, all, we had you on the show. You talking, and we saw like your persona and your, I don't know, testosterone. Like CJ got a little something to himself. But you have to prove yourself in that league. Mm. Like you can be as great as you are. You weren't all American, but we were all Americans. So like you were balling in college, but then you get to that league and you be like, you kind of got to figure it out. When did you figure it out? Because we saw, like, you bring up Tank, you bring up Schultz, you bring up Nico, the boy, y'all went to balling, and we sat back as like the OGs, kind of like, oh, CJ about to do this damn thing. When was the point where you was like, oh, okay. Not being cocky, but that, oh, I can do this. I can be one of the best in the league. Because as we sit here at the goddamn Pro Bowl, you one of the best in the league.
Appreciate that, yeah. I would say after week one against Baltimore, because I knew when I turned on the film and watched Roquan, watched Patrick Queen, watched Kyle Hamilton, 92 up front, I watched them, but I'm like, yeah, they probably the best defense in the league on paper, and they proved it that day. And I still had a pretty decent game, especially for my first game. And like from that point on, I'm like, okay, like, I'm just gonna go out there and I'm gonna be myself. Like, I feel like that first game, I was just trying to fill it out. And that was a terrible mindset to have, you know? So we played Colts week two and I went crazy on them boys. Like we lost, that's but like, I think I went through for like 380, two TDs. My numbers were good, you know? So I was making the right reads. I was moving defenders with my eyes. Like, I just got back to doing what I was used to doing. And then we played week three against Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went trim on them boys, yeah. My bad, Fred, yeah.
It's all love.
The thing that was crazy about it, though, is because I had so much respect for Jacksonville.
Right, right.
And I think they kind of came in like, oh, that's a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
And like that was the last time that happened. Like,
right.
We played the Steelers week two. They didn't treat me like a rookie. Like, the rest of the season, I never got treated like a rookie quarterback. Because mm-hmm. They would just blitz me. I just would pick it apart. Like, you blitz me, I'm going to go there. Like, I just played a game, you know, against the D.C., you know, you want to take this away? Okay, I'm going to be smart, take the check down. And it took about like 3 weeks, 4 weeks to get used to that. I was always trying to take the shot, trying to get squeeze the little window. Like sometimes just taking that completion definitely helped. But like back to you like saying my like numbers and everything, like that was my first time ever like hearing that out loud. So I appreciate you just doing that,
I didn't do you the service that you deserve. You missed two games.
I did miss two games.
See, so that's definitely top five if you go back based on your averages. Yeah. So
I feel like I would have beat everything though. Like that wasn't my goal to like kill the rookie. I wanted to be the best in the league. I wanted to be MVP.
Yeah.
And I told my boy Caleb after we played the Steelers, I'm like, he like, man, you definitely gonna get that rookie of the year. He said something like that. I'm like, that's cool. I want the MVP. And I think since I missed those two games, I kind of got out of the race. But it's all good. You know, like, I got next year. You know, I'm going to just work my tail off to get that done next year. Yeah. But I want to do more than just MVP. I want to be one of the best ever, you know. And I think I have the right to think like that, and I think I can do it.
I was asked when I knew you had it. And I said week one. And when people were asking me about it, I was like, that's the difference between watching every snap and just looking at stats. Mm-hmm. I said, because if you watch the game, you saw him on third down not make bad decisions. I was like, he didn't throw the ball into bad coverages. He was comfortable throwing the ball in front of the first down marker and allowing his team to try to get run after the catch, if that's what it took. And I think it does take a lot of quarterbacks a long time to get to that. But when Channing was kind of asking you, when did you know for sure, I thought about two separate games that came to mind for me. Well, it was three, but I'm not going to talk about Pittsburgh because I'm not. but this is like the hard part about TV is like people see skin color. They act like they don't, but they do. They don't just watch the film. Because I remember with you in college, I was like, man, this dude can make every throw. He has great pocket presence. And people were like, well, we got to see him run. And I was like, why? Because he's black? Right? And then obviously you have the Georgia game. And I was like, okay, now we could put that to rest. But you play, to me, a ton like Joe Burrow. Right? You move the pocket when you need to move the pocket. You make the right decisions. You can make every single throw. That's why he was the first overall pick of the draft. That's why you were the number two overall pick of the draft. But you had a game against him in the Cincinnati Bengals where you went absolutely crazy. And then something we talked about during the precision passing, too, was the battle with Tampa Bay and Baker Mayfield where they leave 40-something seconds on the clock. For you, when you're playing in these games against whether it's high draft picks, Heisman Trophy winners, great quarterbacks in this league, how much of a challenge is it to you to not only win that game, but to show that you're the best quarterback on the field, one of the best in the league? And tell me a little bit about those two battles for you.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think when I come on the field, like, I was telling Derrick Henry, we were sitting on a bus yesterday, and he didn't really, like, a lot of people don't know, like, my, like, I would say, like, the dog that I have in me until they meet me and, like, sit down with me. Because he was like, man, I thought you was just a nice dude. He was like, I didn't know you was like this. But I was basically explaining to him, like, the mindset I have when I step on the field. Like, I want people to, like, I wouldn't say I want them to fear me, but I want them to know, like, I got to be on my A game. I got to be on my shit because CJ on the field. Mm-hmm. Point blank, period. Like this dude going to challenge me every play. Like, he ain't going to take no play off. He not going to, like, everything I do right now from play one to play whatever we got to go to, like, CJ going to be out there. And I think every time I stepped off the field, except for, like, one game, and I got hurt that game against the Jets, I can say, like, I got the respect that I wanted.
Yeah.
And every quarterback I play, like, yeah, I wanna show, like, I'm better than you. Like, I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. Of course, it's respect. Like, I respect Burrow. So after we played him, like, man, I think I model my game after him in a sense. Yeah. It's like, I want people to know, like CJ coming. Like, yeah. Like, it ain't just... This ain't the old Houston Texans. Like, nah.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't been bad forever. You know, like, J.J. Watt comes and talks to us a lot. Like, see him a ton. Andre has been an amazing mentor to me. My boy J.J., Jonathan Joseph, great corner in this league. Like, we had some dogs. Brian Cushing, you know, like, Jadeveon. And I just think we need that back, that get that swag right back. And going to those games, like the Bengals game, that was our first big time game. Like, I think that was the first time we actually played on live TV. And I knew it. And I was like, okay, this my coming out party. And it was back in Ohio, back where I played college. And we ran out, and I just hear boos. And we went we had a decent first drive. And then we came back out, and I think one of the dudes was like just talking mess. I was like, all right, bro, I'm gonna be here for 60 minutes. Like I'm not tucking no tail. Like, cause right. He like bumped me after I threw a pass. I was like, you better be, like, I'll see you after the game.
Right.
And I seen that same dude after the game. Oh man, you the best. Like, you know, and it's all love.
Right.
And I'm showing her love back. But it's like, you can think what you want to think about this rookie young dude, like whatever. Like, I'm gonna be here for 60 minutes.
Right.
I might throw a pick, I might make a mistake, but I'm here, you know, and then I actually threw a pick at the end of that Bengals game in the clutch, and they came down and tied it up. And I remember I went to D'Amico. I was like, Meek, I got you.
Right.
And we came down. I hit Dalton over. Actually, that play to Dalton wasn't supposed to happen. So it was a front side read, and they played like a tricky zero, and then they went out to cover three, and they did a good job by getting depth and taking away my first or second option. Mm-hmm. And if you see, I'm like yelling at Dalton. I'm yelling him, and I don't want to give our name away, but I'm telling him, like, do this, do this. And he can barely hear me. And, like, me and him have gotten a good feel on, like, how to play together and, like, just getting open. And he, like, looked like that, and I, like, bet. So I knew if my first option wasn't there, or my second, I knew Dalton was going to be open. So, like, I'm clapping because I see the clock go down. And I go first, second, and I go, and Dalton open. And I give it to him. We get down. I threw it to my boy Boone. He gets out of bounds. And, like, this next play is, like, the biggest play because it's either we get in field goal position or we don't have no timeout, so it has to go out of bounds. And I took a risk because it was an in-breaker. So, actually, we had one timeout. So, we take the in-breaker. Noah breaks the route. Actually, the dude stole his glove. And he take off, and we get in, we kick in, and we win a big game against Joe Burrow, which was big for me. So, that was a big point. And then Tampa Bay, back and forth, we lost our kicker.
Yeah.
And that's just a testament like how tough of a team we were. I mean, we are, you know, and we didn't blink. We didn't blink at all. And I think I threw for like 470 or something that game, something crazy. The one thing I remember from that game is just like the eyes I got in the huddle. Like every play call, like that last drive wasn't like, man, we lost. We got 46 seconds. It was like, what's the play? Like, we rocking what you see. You know, like the main dude was LT. Like, you know, LT, like he a vet. Like, he not doing an extra at practice. Like, you know, like, y'all sat with him. He's the coolest O lineman in the world. And like, he will call your bluff. And he knows real, he knows fake. But every time I know we gonna score is when I look at LT. He like that's his look he gave me. Like, look at me with his eyes all big. He shake his head.
Right.
And he got like diamond teeth, like it's like he got the whole thing going.
He big and cute. I gave him a hard time when he came on. The big cute
yeah, dude, bro.
You can't be 350 with the diamond teeth and with the.
He got his own swag. I'm not. I don't call no. I don't know swag. I don't know, dog. But
he's very secure.
But LT, he a dog though. Yeah. Like, he might have a diamond teeth, but he a dog.
Yeah.
And so we called the first play. I hit Dalton on a little shallow.
Hit Tank.
We called a timeout. Yeah, so the Tank one, honestly, wasn't supposed to check out like that. Like, it's a bench route, so they're supposed to be flat. But me and him just having, like, we real life brothers. Like that's my boy. Like, I love Tank to death. Like, I'll do anything for that dude. And that's that connection we built off the field, like, in L.A. Mm-hmm. It's like, them conversations, like, hey, if we get cover two and you got a corner out or an out route and it's deep, don't even fool with that corner. Take it high. I'm going to meet you at this spot on the sideline. And, like, Dalton did a good job. It was really Dalton who helped because Dalton took his flat route high. And that got the corner to, like, and I no looked it. Like, I, like, looked at the flat and threw it. Honestly, I didn't even look. I didn't know where Tank was going to be because mm-hmm. I threw it, no look, and I got hit. And so I'm just, like, laying down, look, and he catch on the sideline. And then Ashley Slow, our OC, put that play in, that last play, the little short post to Tank. We didn't have that in all week. That was the first time we ran that, and we scored. So it was just, that it was a cool moment. I mean, squabbled on that boy, Bake.
Bake tried to get it. He hit it right before that,
Bake a dog, though.
Yeah.
He a dog. I got a lot of respect for that dude. He a dog.
Bro, you Rain Man? How do you remember all this shit?
That's that quarterback memory, yeah.
But, bro, just that to this, the Hank was here and the corner was sitting cover two and all like that. That's special. Do you understand that that's special? Like, it's the shit. What? Who was that coach today? McVay.
McVay
can do that shit where it's 2011 and, yeah, third and 14 and all that stuff. But that's special.
I appreciate
like,
it.
Like, is that a difference in a young quarterback and being successful as you are?
Honestly, I don't. Like, I feel like it's how I've been my whole life. Like, my boys, like, they'll sit there, they're like, man, you remember in high school? And I'm like, yeah, it was cover four.
Yeah.
And, like, it was quarters, or it was like, oh, that was third quarter. We was down by, what, 7, and we had 2 minutes left in the third, and we need, like, I don't know why, but, like, I have terrible memory in other things. But when it comes to football, like, I can tell you probably exactly when, where, what cleat I was wearing. Like, oh, it's just something I can just kind of do.
That is exactly how my brain works. which gets me in trouble in, like, real life, because people who know me are like, yeah, you can talk about what happened at Archbishop Shaw in 1996 in the fourth game against Evangel, but you can't tell me this. I was like, because I don't really care about that as much as I care about that. So that's why. But I think that brings me to a different point. I love the fact that Channon talked about that. There was a narrative that was put out about you about a test, pre-draft test. Yeah. And I loved your answer. He's like, I don't take tests. I'm a football player, right? I'm a quarterback. Was it just your experiences, your success, just knowing who you are that allowed you to say that so confidently in what was a time that at least I felt like there was almost a smear campaign against your ability to process as a high-level quarterback?
Yeah, honestly, bro, that was a tough time for me. Yeah. I called my agent, David, and honestly, like, man, I was hot. I was super mad, like, just because I knew that I knew that it wasn't real, and I knew that I put on tape. And, you know, being ball players, the eye in the sky don't lie. You can talk about it, you can, like, I can sit here and tell y'all all the cool stuff y'all want to hear, but y'all can go on the tape like, that was cat. Like, he's lying.
Right.
You know, like, there's a lot of dudes out here doing that. So, like, for me, I feel like a lot of people outside the football world that haven't played, like, they want to be instrumental. They want to have a footprint on this game. And, like, sometimes, like, that's not what we need, you know? Like, no disrespect to those guys. Like, it is what it is. Like, I don't think S2 had ill intentions. Mm-hmm. But, like, that just wasn't that's not who I am. I'm not somebody who you can put a whole bunch of roadblocks and, like, numbers and signals and, like, shapes and, like, that's not how I learn. Mm-hmm. And I think there's different types of geniuses.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not Albert Einstein. I'm not these other mathematical or, like, scientific people. I'm a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And just because I think, honestly, and like you said, people may not think they see black and white, but they do. And I think that had to do with a little bit of just me being who I am and how I carry myself and my hair and, like, how I talk, like, you know, like, just little stuff like that. And I thank God, like, I was the one who went through it. Like I said earlier, I'm graced for everything. I'm prepared. I'm well-equipped. I have the armor of God on me where there's nothing that can deflect what God has meant for my life. So, like, I walk with the confidence and the boldness of, like, man, like, it's cool. Like, keep doing it. Like, I love it. Like, please. I tell, like, me and my boys will go to the gym, and I tell them, like, we have, like, a three-point, like, we do, like, all around the world.
Yeah.
And I tell them, like, make noise. Like, like talk mess, like do whatever you gotta do to get me off my game, because that makes me focus even more. Yeah. Like that S2 stuff, that gave me a bigger chip on my shoulder. Like I'm finna show these dudes, like y'all got it effed up. Like for real, like don't get me wrong, I love the Lord and I love God, but like I'm a dog. Like he put that in me, like I'm not playing with nobody. Amen. So that's kind of how I feel about that. And it's all love though. Like I'm telling you, like I'm no ill intentions. I love everybody.
When we said that though, when you walked off that day, because we had been around a lot of young people, young players, young quarterbacks, you know, how can I put this? We said you were a real one talking on TV. You know what I mean? And I think that has shown throughout. And I love the fact that you talked about your hair. You talked about the way you talk, the way you carry yourself, because I love your authenticity. And, you know, you got to play against Lamar, who I think is authentic as well, mm-hmm. in your last game. And, you know, I'm sure you guys got to have a conversation afterwards. But that is huge to see two guys who remain who they've always been play at such a high level and meet up like that, man. So I thought that was big for the culture and big for the game.
It is my favorite time of the year. A time of the year where I actually played and some people that we know did not. And so the DraftKings Sportsbook has the bet for you. Right now, any new customer signing up using the promo code DEFENSE, you bet $5, you instantly get $200 in bonus bets.
And the same game parlays is coming down to it, but now we're at Super Bowl 58, same game parlays, baby! Bet multiple bets on that game, and I'm telling you, you have even a bigger chance of winning that bread, and they have a chance to bet one, get one instantly. If you bet and you don't win, go ahead, throw that thing back on there, baby. They gonna watch out for you. You know DraftKings gonna watch out for everybody.
Super Bowl 58, don't be late. Make sure you go and download DraftKings Sportsbook app. Get in the game.
Hey, any new customer using the promo code DEFENSE, you place a $5 bet, instantly get $200 in bonus bets. Now back to the show.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, licensed partner, Golden Nugget Lake Charles, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
I just want to also, you mentioned, both of y'all mentioned, people tend to not see black and white, right? And typically, those are the people who don't want to see it, mm-hmm. you know? And you also mentioned David, your agent, athletes first, right? Mm-hmm. I got to shout out Dallas Turner, who signed with David recently. And we talked about all this, the reasons why he wanted to go with David and athletes first, which I thought were perfect reasons.
David, God.
Two perfect reasons to go with him, yeah. Right?
David, a monster.
Yeah, he is. But that's my also man, the conversation.
My man,
not just just on the field. We got to keep it real.
Yeah.
They talk about it in agency and what these guys are doing.
But just listen here, my man, Javon Holland. They asked this man about his contract. He said, y'all know my agent, and walked off.
See? they don't want to have those uncomfortable conversations.
And right? What? So, that joker didn't walk off. Y'all know who I am. You know who represents
exactly.
me.
So, no, I just want to get to, because a lot of times that it does matter. It's a comfort level that you have to have in your management team, the people who see things that you might not always right. see. So you had a few moments throughout the season where you missed those two games. Because of concussion protocol and all that stuff. You had the only game you threw for under 100 yards versus the Jets. Right. And those can become frustrating moments for any rookie or guys that have certain goals they're trying to attain. How did David help you on the back end when you were going through those situations?
Oh, no, just playing. I'm a, Man, I can go all the way back, honestly, to college. And I know he probably don't want me to talk about this, but...
Well, can you talk about it?
I can. Okay, nah, it's
NIL,
all good.
No.
Because
Ohio, Ohio State got it.
It's not like that.
Ohio State got money.
They got it out of this.
They got some cheese.
Let me ask you.
I need to start giving it to
before
some
you get into David real quick.
Okay.
6 out of the last 8 rookie of the years have been Ohio State. What is the fucking problem?
It's the mentality. Like, all the stuff that, like, I'm sitting here telling y'all, like, don't get me wrong, I've been carrying that my whole life, but it got sharpened at Ohio State, dealing with Mickey Moriarty and Coach Day and just that culture up there. Like, it's a mini NFL team. Like, when it comes to, like, doing your job, like, that's what it is. Like, do your job. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, in the league, that's what people get paid for. In college, you're not really getting paid. But, like, for the love of your brother, do your job. So, like, that's where a lot of the leadership qualities were sharpened, a lot of the mentality that I carry, especially with Coach Mick in the weight room. I came to college, like, 180. Like, and I got to, like, 220, when I left school. And I was cut up at that time, you know, and I've been getting my body right still. But, like, I didn't always have that, you know what I'm saying? And, like, I think, like, people were put into my life to sharpen that ability. I think, like, with the last, 6 out of 8, you said, like, that's the mentality. Like, it's like...
Yeah, but I haven't seen a program do less with more.
That's what he's trying to
say.
You're trying to say, like, we don't be winning.
Nah, you guys win, but you don't win the big ones.
Okay, I can talk about it.
They produce some players. It's crazy.
Sometimes, and y'all know this, I've been on teams where we were the best team. Like, every time I've been on high side, we were the best team in the world. Sometimes the best teams don't win the game. Sometimes you lay an egg, like, and don't get me wrong, college is 3 to 4 years for most guys, 5 years if you're lucky.
Right.
That's not a lot of time to win a lot. Don't get me wrong, I'm not making excuses, but, like, it's tough to look back and be like, man, like, we should have won it all. Like, yeah, no duh, but, like, sometimes it just doesn't shake like that, you know? So, well, where did you go?
I went to Florida.
Come on, man. What is we talking about?
I mean, but I won that. But CJ.
I'm thinking he went to Bama or something.
CJ.
What are we talking about?
But come you on, say bro. You talk about
Obligated
a window.
Too.
No, come on, what are we talking about? Y'all,
we won national championships.
We did too. What do you want to talk about?
I'm talking about.
Yeah, let's talk about the recency.
In the last 8 years.
What have y'all done? Nothing. So
it's hard to fight.
LSU maybe the only one of the only teams. They only did one good year.
Look, I'm gonna lay down when I have to.
Yeah,
I can't
come on.
Win that
I'm
fight.
Thinking you went to Bama or something. Like, what are you talking about?
Nah.
Oh nah.
It was really me praising you.
I appreciate
and the guys
that
you
trying to come at the Buckeyes.
The
come on now.
I mean, it was
we the
a
Buckeyes,
shot. It was a subtle shot. I didn't expect you to kind of, you know.
Nah, I'm gonna ride for my Buckeyes now. We and boys.
When you said though, like before we started hating.
No, it wasn't a hate. It was just me trying to figure it out. But it was really about David. Yeah, I kind of wanted you to.
Well, it goes back to college. We played Oregon, and I thought I played really well. And, of course, we lost the game. I think I had, like, 3 touchdowns, 4 some. Like, I went crazy. And I had a pick at the end of the game, and I wouldn't say, like, you know, when you a football player, you know that one play doesn't mean you won or lost. Like, there's plenty of plays you could have went back. Like, man, I should have did this. I should have did that. And we lost that game. And this is my first time ever talking about this publicly. But my brother, somebody came up to my mom and said something really out of line. I had to do with me being black and being a quarterback. And that didn't make any sense because Ohio State quarterbacks have been black since, 2011? Like, something crazy. Like, or really since... Troy Smith.
You got to go back like Troy Smith.
Yeah, exactly, you know, and all the way back to Troy. So, like, somebody says something crazy to my mom, my brothers, they don't play that. Like they're really mellow. We're really mellow people. But, like, when you...
Disrespect.
You know, and, like, you disrespect one of our family members, we're going to turn up. So my brother had a little altercation, and he got a little squabble, you know? Like, you know how I be hitting a squabble? Like, they did it for real this day. And that situation happened, I was really upset. I was really upset because, like, it was Ohio State fan. And I made this whole little post. Like, I made a note, like, really just expressing my feelings on how I felt about the situation, getting death threats, getting... This is my first time ever getting this type of... Like, and mind you, like I told y'all, I've always wanted this... I always wanted to be the best player. I always wanted to play on the best team, but I didn't know this is what it came with. Mm-hmm. So, like, I was getting prepared through everything, and so I sent David the message. And he called me. He's like, bro, don't do it. He's like, do not do it. And the reason why was just like, man, like, it'll make sense later. That's all really he told me. And I was like, okay. So we fast forward. I ended up having a great year. And then we really ain't talked about it until yesterday, which is kind of crazy, since the Pro Bowl. And he was like, how you feel, bro? And I'm like, what you mean? Think about that text you sent me to now. And like through everything, through thick and thin, man, David has been there. Like I heard a whole bunch of like, and we, even when we sat down before I even signed with him, I heard so many negative things. And honestly, it was from people with who didn't have our skin color. Oh, he's this, he doesn't do contracts, he's unprofessional, he's not organized, his team is all over the place. When I sat down, I can look in somebody's eye and be like, okay, this is a real one. Like, I felt that feeling. So when I signed, man, like, everything was black and white. Everything was on time, was in order, was organized, you know? And like, that's when I talk about like being in the limelight at times from a bird's eye, it can look all crazy, but like you have to really sit down with people and really talk to them to know who they are as a person. So man, from that moment, from that Oregon game to going into this Pro Bowl, like from that time, I've learned so much. And David has been there like every game, like even after the Jets game, he called me like, little bro, how you feel? You all right? Like every game we talk, I sit on the phone like for an hour and 30 minutes talking to him about, man, what is we doing? Like just venting, you know? And like, of course I have other people like that help me, like my boy Caleb, one of my best friends, Baron, who I talk to on a regular. Actually, he was there last time I did the pivot. Bernie, my marketing guy, my mother is huge when it comes to stuff like that. My sister, my older brother, Isaiah Asmore, my best friends, STM back home. Like, I have so many people who help, but like, man, when you talk about the top of that list, man, David is definitely up there. And I know he can hear me, so, man.
The thing I love that when you spoke to us the first time was the way you found, or how you found your way back to Christ. And the way that you've let off every opportunity, every interview, with saying that you have to give glory to him first. How much has finding that foundation again and being deeply rooted in your faith played a part in your success this season?
It's been everything. Everything. Like, honestly, I can't even say this season. I've said since I've been, the day I was born, October 3rd, 2001, like God, my dad and mom have always told me this story. I don't think anybody even knows. It's another thing I've never really said anything, but I think it's the right time. I'm a miracle baby. Like, I wasn't supposed to be here. Like, my mom had a miscarriage before she had me. My older sister, Sarah, was born almost a year to the date I was born, October 27th, 2000. She passed away as a baby. And I think my sister, Sarah, opened up a door for me, you know? And, like, I always knew, like, I was a little different when I was growing up. Like, I'm not saying I'm special or I'm, like, cool or anything. I just knew, like, something was, like, in me that other people didn't have. And I knew that it was from the Lord. Because me and my cousin, Kaylin, been with me through thick and thin. Like, from when my pops got locked up, like, to we living in a storage, to just being, like, I grew up as an, after my pops was locked up, I was embarrassed. Like, I was really embarrassed as a kid because I seen other kids, like I said in the other show when I was here, comparison is even joy. I used to compare all the time. I used to be like, man, I used to line my life up with social media. And like, that's the thing, man, like through everything, God has always been right there with me, even when I didn't know it. And it's a song I listen to called Waymaker. Even when I don't see it, you're there. Even when I don't feel it, like I know you're there. And I think that's like been a testimony to my life is like through everything, like God had to put me through the fire. And my pastor, Jerry Flowers, back in Houston, I went to a sermon, I went to a service on Sunday, the day after we lost to Baltimore, and he had a sermon, and it's called Let It Burn. So, like, when you sit in that fire, man, it's uncomfortable. You don't want to be in there, but, like, to be who God has called you to be, you have to fight, and you have to be in that fire. And when you pick up the cross, like, it's not easy. It's harder, you know, like, it's a lot harder. And I think that's something that I used to get confused, definitely like when I was younger, is like, I always expect like, I got God on my side, shit, like God got
win.
Me. It's not like that. Like, yeah. It's just when you pick up the cross, you decide like, I'm gonna rock with this Christ thing. Like, nah, it gets a little harder. And that's why you just gotta let it burn. So I do, and I've been doing this since I've been like five. Like I'll try to find a video and send it to you, but it's a video when I was like, I was probably like 7 or 8, and I just had got MVP at this AAU basketball tournament, because you know I'm a bucket. I'm playing. But I had gave, my dad was like, man, you better give glory to God. Right. And so I did it. You know, so like I haven't been just doing this since people have been watching. Right. Like I've always been like really appreciative of my Lord and Savior. So
I love that.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. So my last thing is this, bro. You're a quarterback. The game is about quarterbacks. The biggest game of the year is on Sunday. And so we got Brock Purdy, the San Francisco 49ers. So Mr. Irrelevant, San Francisco 49ers, and at least until you take over, the best quarterback in the world. And the Kansas City Chiefs. How do you see that matchup, and what is your prediction for a win?
I'm gonna break down the quarterbacks for you, because I don't like how people do Purdy. I think Purdy's a good player. I think Purdy's a hell of a player. Mm-hmm. I was watching a video today on the bus back from practice, and it was like all his touchdown throws, and it was like great throw, basic throw, and like all wide receiver. And like half of the throws were like, no, most of them were great throws, but some of them were like basic. There's nothing basic about being an NFL quarterback. Right. Nothing. Like, let's get one thing clear. There's nothing easy about being, like, I don't care if somebody seems wide open. Like, there's a lot of operation. There's a lot of things that have to go great to get that person wide open, and you have almost everything to do with that. Of course, like, other people, like, OC got a call to play. You got to read the wristband, right? Like, it could be one little thing that knocks off that person isn't wide open. So, like, let's clear that out. Like, I don't think you can play at a high level like he is and just be average. Like, that just doesn't happen, you know? Like, do I think he's on a great team? Heck yeah. Like, don't get me wrong, he has a team full of dogs. That team should be in the Super Bowl. Right. They should be where they're at.
But you gotta have somebody pull the trigger.
Exactly. You gotta be somebody that's gonna lead the locker room. It's a lot of things that people don't see that I know he's in there doing, because they're winning football games. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that's something that I just wanted to clear, man. Like, Purdy is a dog. Like, you've seen what he did this last week. Now, do I think he's, I'm not going to say he's not top five or he is, but, like, of course, like, you put other people in that position, they're going to do well as well. But, like, you can't. You can play the what-if game all you want. Everybody can say what-if. He's there. He's doing it. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I got so much respect for that dude in Mahomes, man. Like, he's on his way to be better than anybody, you know, and somebody that I respect and I grew up watching. And, you know, him, Brady, Montana, those are the guys that we chasing, you know. So, just nothing but respect. I think the Chiefs are going to win. I got the Chiefs. I think that defense is playing at a high level. I like Bolden. I like Chris Jones.
Yeah. McDuffie's 22.
Yeah. 38
is Snead. That's the two.
Those DBs are playing at a high level. Reed is a baller.
Yeah.
And then of course Travis Kelce, like that tandem and that experience at that, you can't buy experience.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I got the Chiefs. I wouldn't be surprised if the Niners didn't run for their money though.
Well, bro, we appreciate you, dog.
Appreciate y'all.
It was better than the first time. Hell.
Yeah.
Way better.
And I remember saying that the first time. I was like, damn, we got to get him by himself.
For sure.
Appreciate you, bro. David was texting me. Nah, let him finish talking about me.
Oh, I know. I'm going to give a spot.
What I respect the most, and it was subtle, you said, that's what we chasing. Mm-hmm. He didn't say just you. Talking about the next generation of potentially great quarterback. I just love your attitude, bro. I love your attitude.
Hold up. Limitless. Take a stomach cap, pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, get me up. On the mission, get me up. Knowing me, I got the key. Only vision I can trust. Trust. Limitless. Take a stomach cap, pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, get me up.